want to start off this second session this morning talking about possessing your promised land. Amen. And I want to even start that this morning kind of tagging on to some of the stuff Pastor Elizabeth was teaching about this morning. First time I ever heard of the dimension of the soul, or the soul realm, we call it. It was like answered so many questions to me. And I want to take time, you know, for your sake and for the sakes of those that hear these messages on, you know, other media formats. Well, I say CD, but now it's all MP3, it seems like. Did you ever think CDs would go obsolete? So I'm still buying cassette tapes. Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. And I want to talk about this dimension or realm of the soul a little bit. So let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 12. 2 Corinthians 12. And then we're going to try out our new piece of equipment here. Really on a congregation for the first time. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. 2 Corinthians 12, have you got it? Paul is writing in verse 1, he says, "It is not expedient for me doubtless to glory. I will come to visions and revelations of the Lord." I love that statement of faith. I'm going to have visions and revelations. I speak that over my life all the time. I will come into revelation and vision. Visions. "I knew a man in Christ above 14 years ago, whether in the body I cannot tell, or whether out of the body I cannot tell. God knoweth, such a one caught up to the third heaven." Amen. Now we know he was caught up to the third heaven, which we know to be the realm of the Spirit, right? We know to be the realm of the throne of God. It's where the angels go on vacation to get away from us, you know, at times. It's the realm of the glory. I believe love is the atmosphere of heaven itself. Amen. And he was caught up to that. Doesn't know whether it was in the spirit or whether it was in the body, but he knew he was caught up to it. And they said he heard things he wasn't even allowed to repeat. That apparently it would damage our faith for him to tell us everything he saw. Maybe too big for us to grasp. And he says, "I was caught up to the third heaven." And I have a mathematical background, and so I'm of the age of, you know, when they taught you to count to three. And I'm of the mind there's a third heaven, which is the highest heaven. Amen. There's nothing above the third. There must be a first and a second heaven as well. Now, we used to define in church that there were three heavens. We talked about the earth was the first heaven, the earth and the air around it. Then we said outer space was the second heaven. The third heaven we defined as where God lived out beyond the universe, you know, out in that direction. And we had to define things in a stacked order like that, regarding space, because man, 2,000 years ago, didn't understand dimensions. You may not understand dimensions. Amen. We live in a three-dimensional world. We have height, width, and depth. Width and depth, right? Hopefully my width and depth are being reduced. Amen. And then we even add to our dimension a fourth dimension we call time. We are three dimensions moving through a fourth dimension called time. And science has come to understand there's dimensions beyond these four. They've discovered through scientific investigation there are at least nine dimensions. And some theorize as many as 26 different dimensions. Others say an infinite number of dimensions. But when I'm talking about a dimension, I'm talking about an area of existence that isn't made up of natural matter. Now, I've come to understand that the first heaven is made up of everything that makes up this entire universe. See, any dimension operates by its own set of laws. Did you know the laws that operate in heaven aren't the same as the laws that operate on earth? Amen. And so on earth we have a set of laws. We have gravity, you know, we have laws of thermodynamics, conductivity, electricity, all these different laws that allow this created universe. This is a created universe. God said, "Let it be," and it was. It lets it all function as a unit. Gravity keeps everything sealed down, you know, so we can we don't float off into space. Gravity keeps the Earth, you know, going around the sun versus being hurled off. So all these laws work together, and scientists found out these laws in the universe are universal. The same laws that work on Earth work on Mars. They've studied the same laws that work on Earth also work everywhere they've examined in the universe. Which means it's all of the same created realm. Do you follow me on that? This universe is all made up of the same stuff we call matter. We can see stars out there because they're made of a substance that we've been given sensors to pick up. Do you follow me on that? And your body has five senses, right? Seeing, smelling, hearing, tasting, and touching. And they let you detect what's going on in this first heaven realm that we live in. You follow me? If you didn't have those five senses, you would be oblivious to the natural realm. You wouldn't even know that it existed. Amen. So God gave us physical bodies. You understand, we found it this morning. We're spirit, soul, and body, right? He gave us physical bodies that allow us to interact with this created realm. I love it that scientists found out that three things had to come into existence simultaneously at the beginning of this creation. Science knows there was a creation point for this universe. Otherwise, it would have burned out by now. They know that everything in the universe is in a process of winding down, a process of burning out. Amen? A lot of the universe operates by what they call the principle of entropy. That means every process that takes place in the universe, they found it is universal. Every process of energy exchange that takes place is less than 100% efficient. Let me explain that for a minute. You take a cup of coffee, it's hot, you set it on the counter, in 20 minutes it cools off. There's nothing you can do to take that energy that escaped out in air and bring it back into the cup without adding more energy. And they found that everything in the universe is winding down, so science knows there had to be a beginning point. And they say three things had to come into existence at the same time for this universe to even exist. There had to be space, matter, and time. If you have matter and no space, where do you put it? If you have space and matter and no time, when do you put it? So they know these came into existence at the same time. And I love it. God described that in Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, the very first verse of the Bible. God said, in the beginning, time, He created the heavens, space, and the earth, matter. And everything in this created realm operates under that dimensional effect. Amen. We know the kingdom of heaven, the third heaven, also has laws that govern it. Faith is a law in the kingdom of heaven. Are you following me? The power of words, they operate in that realm. Love of God being the atmosphere, love, the highest level of God's power, dominates that realm. It has its own set of laws. And it predates this realm because we know the kingdom of heaven, the third heaven, is eternal. Amen. And so we know there's a third, and not only that, how deep can I go into this? You are a three-part being. Your physical body lives in the first heaven. Your spirit man actually lives in the third heaven. Your spirit man, when it was made righteous, gained access to living in the spirit realm. It says in Ephesians 2:6 that we are seated in the heavenly places with Christ Jesus. It says in 1 Corinthians 2 that we have spirit-to-spirit communion with the Holy Spirit. The Spirit of God has fellowship with your spirit man on the inside of you. Accessible 24/7. Do you follow me? Spirit-to-spirit communion. Amen. And your spirit man, because it's influenced by the love of God, your spirit man will never be oppressed. It'll never be discouraged. It'll never be suicidal. It'll never say, I've had enough of this church stuff. Let's just stop it. Those are effects that take place upon your soul. Now, you are given senses in the spirit realm as well, just like you have physical senses. You can hear the Spirit of God. I've heard people say they've smelled in the spirit. They have a spiritual sense of smell. I don't doubt it. God has a nose. Amen. And so there's voices, there's speech in the spirit. There, I believe you can feel in the spirit. Now, listen, I'm familiar with the hearing. I don't know how far I've gone into different senses of the spirit. I don't know how many there are. Maybe more than five. Do you follow me? You know, discerning of spirits is a knowing in the spirit. That's a transfer of information in the spirit. And so, you have spiritual senses as well. But me being, you know, a mathematical person, I count, okay, there's a first heaven, a dimension where there's actually a dimension things exist in, right, where we are right now. There's a third heaven. We know the throne of God is in the third heaven, exists there. The tree of life is there, right? There's a river of God in the third heaven. All these things exist. It's a dimensional area that exists, but it's made of spirit matter. I personally believe the kingdom of heaven is actually right here with us. I don't believe it's... See, we used to try to stack heavens and put it way beyond because we couldn't understand or comprehend back then the existence of worlds that we couldn't see. But God gave you five senses to this natural body. They only pick up natural information. Your five senses, unless God touches them somehow and you can see an angel or something, your five senses only pick up natural information. So even though there may be, how many know there's angels right here right now? Anybody see any right now? You don't see them. Why? Your natural eye cannot pick up spiritual information. So why couldn't the whole kingdom of God be right here? Because the word says in Romans 10, the kingdom of God is in you. In your mouth and in your heart. It's right here. It's near you. It doesn't say it's millions and billions of light years away. It's right here. But it's in a dimension we cannot see. You follow me? But we can image it because we read in the Word what's in there, and we can image its existence. In your mind's eye, you can see it, you know, a kingdom of God. Amen. Your river may look different than my river. But we still see it, right? In my kingdom of heaven, the sky is orange. Amen. If you want to be under the effect of blue all the time, you go ahead. I believe the sky here was orange till the curse came in and it came blue. Hallelujah. Just having some fun. But there must be a second heaven, a second dimension. And there is. It's called the realm of the soul. And it's a whole nother, let's call it a world. You follow? It's a whole nother realm that has tangibility. Amen? Let me describe this for a minute. How many know that Satan was kicked out of heaven? Right? We even know that Jesus cleansed the heavenly with his own blood. Satan has no access to heaven anymore. He can't even go to the realm of the spirit anymore. That's why it's God gave you, he assigned you to be led of the spirit. Your spirit man has communion one-on-one with God, and the devil has no right to interfere with that voice. Not that he has no right, he can't. Because he was kicked out of the realm, that world of the spirit, your spirit having communion with the Holy Spirit, the devil can't come in and interfere with that communication. Now, I believe, you know, there are devils come here at times. I know there are because I've seen the people that brought them in. Some of those faces that I talked about this morning, you can tell they brought a devil in with them. Amen. I'm trying to tell them how everything is just horrible and they're going down, you know, they're going to fail. They're familiar spirits that come along. You don't see them, but they're there. They're real. I believe, now this is me, Elizabeth can give you her view later if she wants to. I believe when Satan was kicked out of heaven, he took up residence in the dimension or the world of the soul. You follow me? And it's the realm of thought and realm of emotion. I personally believe emotions and thoughts have tangibility in the realm of the soul. Amen? She spent much time this morning talking about animals. Their lives depend upon the soul. And animals are very astute at picking up what the atmosphere of the soul is charged with. Let me pause here for a second. We talked about you had sensors or feelings in the natural realm. You have sensors or feeling in the third heaven, spirit realm. You also have sensors in the second heaven, that second realm. God made you triune, and he gave you detectors or senses in all three realms. And the sensors you have for the soul realm are what you feel and what you think. See, when a devil comes around, he carries, let's just call it, a personality with him. And wherever that spirit goes, he will affect the atmosphere he enters into with the personality that he carries. And if you entertain enough devils, they will affect the atmosphere around the area that you're in a negative fashion. You follow me? That's why you can enter into, you know, some areas where people have been in strife and you feel it when you walk in. It's like, you want to slap somebody, right? Theoretically. What happened? That strife that was in the air, your emotions picked up. Amen. Or, you know, it may not be devils. It could just be you went to a funeral. Didn't even know the person. You walk in and start crying. Because grief is charging the air. See, emotions pick up what the atmosphere is charged with, and they're even transferable. What one person carries in, other people can pick up because they have emotions, have voices in the realm of the soul. That's why, you know, animals are dependent upon that soul. That's why during deer season, you can't find a deer. I'm a deer hunter. You know, I can dress up in full camouflage, take a shower with scent-free shampoo, scent-free soap, washed my clothes in scent-free detergent, put it all in a plastic bag with wafers that smell like, you know, doe urine or something. And you go out in the field, you put it all on, you walk in cow manure to cover your tracks, you climb up in a tree, nobody can see you, the squirrels will come up right up in your face. Covered every inch of you. They don't know you, they think you're part of the tree. And a deer walks up and all of a sudden he notices something in the air isn't right. And he lifts his head and he's looking like this all around. I'm talking about like he knows something's around. He's picking up your hunting atmosphere. He's picking up the thoughts and charging of the air that you're giving off in the realm of the soul. Did you follow me on that? But yet, you know, I'm driving home the other day and I drive in my neighborhood and there's a deer. Where are you when I had my stamp and my bow? You know, they're like, nobody's busy, just frolicking around. So I can do it too. Why? They're picking up no threat in the realm of the soul atmosphere. Their thoughts and their emotions are picking up no danger signals anywhere. See, they've learned to live by more than just the five senses. They live by seven senses. The five plus what they feel and what they hear. Did you follow me? What's that? That's right. They're already, the herd has been thinned by the ones that don't use those skills. You know, they talk about deer hunters, they hunt for the big bucks. And they're hard to find. They're out there, but they're hard to find. They've learned to follow what they feel. And they will pick it up from miles away sometimes and won't come near the person with the rifle. Oh, praise God. So these things have tangibility. Let me throw this out as well. I like to give this example. You know, we worshiped God a while ago and the presence of God came in. How many have ever been in a major service where the presence of God just filled the place, like the glory came in, and all you could do is worship God? Anybody here ever felt the presence of God? Raise your hand. That's pretty much unanimous. How did you feel it? How did you feel him? Did you feel him with your flesh? Oh, God's here. I got goosebumps. If goosebumps are telling you when God's around, you know, you must be full time when it's cold outside. He's having you a whole time again. Over there. God! I found out here God better want to run through the snow naked. Just cast down that image right now. Amen. The word's easier to take when you put some humor with it. Amen. And so, you don't feel God with your natural five senses. So, do you feel God with your spiritual senses? Well, yeah, but You have spirit-to-spirit communion with the Holy Ghost. You always feel Him. You full-time feel God on the inside. Are you following me? So how do we know when God's presence came into a room? Well, what happened is the room has normally got some leftover residue of demonic personality infiltration. The room is normally under the influence of natural feelings and natural reactions. As we start to worship God, God says He draws near to the praises of His people. He inhabits those praises, right? We draw near unto Him, He draws near unto us. So as we in the first heaven draw near to God with, you know, our physical efforts, with our heart, God in the third heaven says, I'll meet with you, and the meeting place is in the realm of the second heaven, the soul. And the way we feel God's presence, because it's full time in the spirit realm, is as we worship God, God's presence infiltrates the second heaven. And all of a sudden, with your emotions, you feel God. Where before there was chaos and turmoil and edginess and everything else, all of a sudden the love comes in, the peace comes in, the joy comes in. Are you following me? All of a sudden it's like, ah, my soul can breathe again. The heaviness is lifting, the weights are going. What happened? God's presence invaded the second dimension. Now see, God said Satan can no longer invade the third. But He says, nobody said I can't invade the second. And my people have the authority as the air traffic controllers to use their authority to allow my presence to invade the second heaven. Let me throw this in as well. I believe the glory of God is God's presence that flows out of the third into the second and becomes so charged in the second it has to flow into the first. And all of a sudden you see smoke, you see gold dust, you see fires that aren't burning what they're burning. You follow me? What happened? The Shekinah glory is an overflow out of the soul dimension into the first dimension because the soul can't contain all of God. Oh, hallelujah. And so, God set it up. He gave us these emotions to detect who's in the house. Carmen used to sing that song, Who's in the House? J.C. Who's in the house? J.C. I tell you, who? You who? Well, the truth is, God didn't give you emotions to make decisions out of, you know, based on this is how I feel, this is how I react. Well, I feel sad, I'm going to cry. I feel oppressed, I'm going to whine, or I'm going to isolate myself. He gave you emotions to detect, is a devil in the house, or is God's presence in the house? And He said, I give you the ability, if it's not the presence of God you're picking up. In other words, you have the ability, if you learn to exercise your senses, your emotions, your spiritual and soulish senses, you have the ability to walk into a room and pick up who's in the house, and if it's not God, you can start worshiping Him and bring God's presence into that realm of the soul and dominate the atmosphere. And all of a sudden, heaviness starts being lifted off the people around you. Amen. That's what this corporate anointing is all about. We all come together and start worshiping God, and it produces an overflow of God's presence into the room that's greater than you'll experience by yourself at home. Well, I'll just worship God at home. You can do that. You should do that. But it will not produce what the church atmosphere coming together in worship will produce as a whole. You follow? Not that the glory can't hit your house. So God gave you emotions to detect. What am I feeling? This isn't God. I don't want anybody in my house but God. So devil, you got to go now in Jesus' name and you worship God until God's presence comes in. That's what air traffic control is all about. Now, we talked about these three heavens somewhat this morning, but we didn't touch on them in depth. And I've got some drawings here I'm going to put up. Here we see a set of circles that I want to represent the three different heavens. See the numbering 1, 2, 3? One being the first heaven, this natural realm. Two being the soul realm, the soul dimension. Three being the kingdom of heaven. So we see in the inner circle there, heaven number one. It's the realm of the natural world. We see it's the realm of the natural world. It's the realm of flesh. It's the realm of man's ability. The first heaven, without God, is limited to the manifestation of what man can produce of himself. So it's also the realm of science. It's the realm of religion. Religion is that which has a form of godliness but with no power. Amen. Denying the power. It's the realm of rules and regulations versus relationship. It's also the realm of bondages. Whatever bondages you are experiencing, they're keeping you limited in the realm of this first heaven so that you can't do what you would want to do. In the third heaven, we have, it's the realm of the kingdom of God. It's the realm of the Spirit. It's also the realm of refreshment, fulfillment, anointing, liberty, love, and all the promises of God. The Spirit is what we want to live in, right? We know that when we leave this earth, someday over yonder, right? Someday in the ever after, we get to dwell in that realm, and there will never be another tear, not another problem, amen, not another concern. Because it's the realm of the total inundation of the presence of God. Total manifestation and the blessings of God, right? And we know that God wants us to bring heaven to earth. We know that God, according to the Word, He wants us to bring heavenly conditions into our life today. Now, we talked about this morning that the flesh wars against the Spirit and the Spirit against the flesh. And we talked about the soul being the battlefield, right? Well, in between the third and the first is the second heaven. They're layered. You know, science talks about religion talks about a layered, you know, set of kingdoms or heavens, you know, spatially, but they're not, they're layered dimensionally. And anything coming from the third heaven to the first has to pass through the second. Just like God put your, are y'all following me okay? Just like God put your will in the second heaven, amen, any decision you may get information from the first, you may get information from the third, but it's still got to pass through the second to make the decision. Well, in the realm of these dimensional stackings, anything coming from the third to the first has to pass through the second. But that's where the devil's taking up residence. Second heaven is the realm of thought and emotion, but it's also the realm of demonic witchcraft. It's the realm of the soul. And it's where the devil lives. So for things to pass through the heavenlies to get to you, it's got to come through that demonic opposition. Especially, at least, in the realm of thought. Now, a good example of that is Elizabeth went there this morning in Daniel, where Daniel started fasting and praying for 21 days, right? He ate no pleasant bread, no donuts. And the angel shows up and says, from the day you started praying, I started coming to you, but the Prince of Grecia held me up till Michael came and fought on my behalf, right? Where'd they get held up? Were they fighting in outer space somewhere? You know, there was a comet. That was definitely Michael and the Prince of Persia, right? I know that was, you know. The battle was right there. It was in that dimension. There was a hold of Michael coming to bring the answer to Daniel in that realm of the soul. And it was such an important answer was supposed to be brought. The devil threw out everything he had to try to hold it back. Amen. But yet Daniel still got what he was praying and believing God for. Praying and fasting for. So, if everything that God wants to bring you from this dimension into this dimension has to pass through this dimension, the same thing's true in your mind. You follow me? Now, as long as you harbor in your thinking natural processes, your soul acts as a barrier to the things of the Spirit passing into your life. If you've been taught all of your life, you know, that God doesn't heal, you know, there's no such thing as divine healing, we have to go to the doctors, you're bound by just, you know, natural expectation medically, then what happens is you may hear somebody preach about God wants you healed, or they may say, if you come to me, I'll pray for you and God will heal you. But you've got a shell in your thinking that says, no, God doesn't do that anymore. And it acts as a restrictor to the anointing of God to heal. You follow me on that? You know, if you know, you're needing finances and somebody says, well, you need to sow a seed and believe God, sow into this offering today, God will bless you. And, well, no, I just don't believe God does it anymore. He wants us poor to teach us a lesson, right? To keep us humble. You've got a shell there in the realm of the second heaven that the revelation of the first can't get to you and bring you what you need. Because faith is the connector between the two heavens. And if you can't develop faith in what God said, in other words, you can't renew your mind to the point the word becomes engrafted to it, you can't receive what God says you can have. Did you follow me on that? So what we're to do then, as we talked about this morning, is renew our mind that what is out here, if we can renew our mind to what is out here, we believe it can actually infiltrate into here, it becomes reasonable, then you can experience it. But it requires becoming spiritually minded in this yellow circle here in the realm of the soul. So, regarding this renewing of the mind, before God can bring you anything out of the third heaven into the first, He's got to get you where you believe it so you can have it. Do you follow me? Which means He's first got to tell you that it exists. You know, the first person I ever heard teach on divine healing was Pastor Callahan. Back in 1987, we came in, about the time he came to Lexington, and we heard him preach divine healing, and I thought, I don't know about all that. They told me that God wants me sick. Teach me a lesson, you know. And I had to go home. And I said, God, if this is true, I want it, but I'm going to see it in the Word. I got to see it in the Word. And I went home and got out my concordance, you know, the one you used to use for the doorstop and everything, you know. I got it out, and I looked up every single verse in Scripture on healing and health. And by hand wrote it down on notebook paper. And read every verse, studied every verse, read it many times through. And I saw in those Scriptures that nowhere in there does it say God is the author of sickness. You follow me? And what happened is that revelation opened me up to start developing my faith for divine healing and divine health. So God, to get you where He wants you to be regarding... See, God's plan is for you. We talked about this morning. When you get saved, He saves you in the spirit realm. He saves your spirit. He wants you walking out His will and His image in the flesh. But He's got to get you to renew your mind in the realm of the soul to get you to do it. But first, He's got to get the revelation to you that you can do it. And really, that's a lot about what today is about, is get you a revelation that you can renew your mind to win and control your future. Amen. So, I've got 5 steps here I've listed that God gave me some time back to move into experiencing third heaven life. And the first one is, you're limited by what you see. If you can't see it, you can't have it. You follow me? If you can't see it in here, there's no way you're going to possess it. So God will bring you a vision or a revelation. Remember Paul said, I will come to visions and revelations? A revelation lets you see beyond the soul. It lets you take your eyesight and elevate it above what you've seen before and see beyond the old shell. I want you to see that soul as a shell. It's your limiter. You know, we call it thinker, chooser, and feeler. It's also your limiter. The only limitation on your life to walking in the fullness of the power of God and the image of Christ is what you have programmed into your soul, or what has been programmed in. If you could put the full Word of God in your head to a level it became engrafted to you, you would do everything Jesus did. And more, because you got more time. You follow me? Except those at cross, because He already did that, right? And so revelation enables you to see beyond the shell. You mean I can be healed? What happened? God just elevated your eyesight above that. I can prosper supernaturally. I don't have to walk with the spirit of sorrow on my life anymore. I can be set free from these addictions and bondages. Are you following me? See, all those bondages are really, they're rooted in the soul. All those strongholds are the results of wrong teaching in the past, or wrong experiences, limited experiences. When God says, you get saved, I'll take the limitations off of you. You're only limited by what you will believe. Amen. So God will bring you a revelation to let you see beyond into the realm of the third heaven. But as you see beyond, God will give you verse that, you know, gives you that vision. How many know, you know, a picture's worth 1,000 words? But some words can paint a picture. You read something, it paints a picture in your thinking, right? You know, if I wrote on the wall here and I said a pink furry dog, in your mind, you'll see a pink furry dog. Amen, that eats cat dung. I just want to say, I will never let another dog lick me on the face. It's just not going to happen. I don't know where that tongue has been. Hallelujah. So, God will take a verse and with a verse paint a picture for you. Meditation is the taking that verse and taking that image and keeping it before your mind. We'll look at that here in a few minutes. Keeping it before your thinking. And meditation causes you to think beyond. You mean I can be healed? You mean I can lay hands on people and they will be healed? I can just speak words and God will change things. He'll move mountains by words. What a revelation. Again, 99.99% of Christians don't know that. But words really do have power. They're your authority being exercised. So meditation thinks beyond. Application, which is to speak and to act, it acts beyond. It acts on the supernatural. Faith while it works is dead, right? And then manifestation receives from beyond. And restoration lives beyond. God wants to take us through the process of renewing our mind through giving us revelation. Then we are willing to meditate that revelation. And then act on the faith that revelation is produced so that we receive that revelation. And then we start doing that in every part of our life. And then we live in the third heaven conditions. That's God's plan for our life. Did that stretch too far? Was it revelation too much? See, for 99.9% of people, what I'm saying today would be mumbo jumbo, hocus pocus, a bunch of malarkey. The do what? Right. But yet it's the Word of God. Everything we're bringing you is straight out of the Word of God. Amen. And God's bringing these revelations in the end times. So what happens is, zip this down just a hair. If you can see that. Here we have the same three circles. You follow me? Just kind of an exploded section of it. This inner part is again the body right here. Here's the third heaven up here where the promises of God are, right? Here's the second heaven, the realm of the soul, realm of natural thought, demonic resistance. Well, what faith does is you meditate the word, it makes an opening in the soul where you will believe for the third heaven. And it opens up an area of where in the past you've been limited, opens up a section of your soul where now you can receive from the third heaven what God has promised. So revelation and meditation open up this realm here where faith is existing, and then speech activates the release of the promises of God into your life. And God has given us promises, His exceeding great and precious promises, that we can be partakers of the divine nature of God. We can live at the fullness of the nature God put in us through these promises. And there's not a challenge in your life, there's not an area of your life God hasn't given you a promise that will give you victory in that area. But the problem is you got to deal with that soul, and you got to deal with the dimension of the soul. It's not enough just to learn these things. You have to apply these things. Not only that, it's not enough just to know that God's given you victory and speak words. You got to know how to cast down imaginations. You got to know how to tell the devil to shut up. My wife will tell you, I go through the house all the time saying, I cast it down. Shut up, devil. I don't receive that. You're still in my house. Why? Hey, I'm not going to wait till I get to church. Okay, I'm going to cast it down now, devil. I've thought about it for 2 days, but now I think I'll cast it down now. I take every thought captive to the best of my ability, and I cast it down when it hits me. You follow me? So you learn how to be effective at guarding your soul. Philippians 4:8 says, finally, brethren, think on these things. Whatever is true, honest, just, lovely, pure, of a good report. If there be any virtue, be any praise, think on these. He gives you an allowable area of that you allow your soul to even go. And if it's not pure and lovely and true, don't think on it. What are you doing? You're learning to possess your souls. The word says, in your patience, possess ye your souls. So you learn how to dominate the soul. And if you dominate the soul, as Pastor Elizabeth talked about this morning, if you just learn to dominate the soul, the flow of the third heaven into your life is a natural result. We got too many Christians trying to get the third heaven results into their life through, you know, we call it raw faith, through just demanding, in Jesus' name I'm healed, in Jesus' name I have this. Yet they're not learning how to control the thoughts they have and have their mind so dominated with the word that I just believe it. You follow me? There was a time with divine health where I'm walking for all the time, in Jesus' name I'm healed, by stripes I'm healed. Amen. Takes all my diseases. Walking the floor, declaring it every day, all the time. Now I just maintain it. Amen. It's so part of my thinking. The sickness is not part of my life. I just, Father, I think I'm healed. Praise you, Jesus. Bringing enough word to keep me fed. And sickness can't come on your body. But it starts off with renewing your mind to this word. Do you see that? Now, bringing all these pieces together, some years back, in fact, I've got this labeled January 2003, being of an engineering background, I like charts. Amen. I like graphs. I like pictures. And I like flow charts. And I felt led to endeavor to flow chart the operations of our triune being. Oh, hallelujah. Let's see if I can expand this somewhat here. Can y'all see that at all? I'll explain it as we go. But here we have our triune being. Over here is our body. Everything in black over here? That's your flesh. Everything in red, right there. I know the colors aren't showing too well on the camera, but that's of the spirit. Everything in blue is of the soul. Do you see that? And we know that we're to be led of the spirit, aren't we? And so it could be that you're seeking God. Maybe you're in a situation or a challenge that you need help on. Maybe God just gives you instructions sometime in a night vision. But we're going to start off going through this. It's actually a loop is what it does. So we got to pick a place where we're going to start with this flow chart analysis. Let's start with God. How many everything ought to, everybody know everything ought to start with God? I need to slow down here. Everything should start with the Holy Ghost. And so here we have God up here. And of course, God wants us to produce God actions. Right? He wants Holy Spirit actions produced out of our lives. And so what he'll do is, we know that our spirit man has full-time communion with the Holy Spirit, right? So you have communion with God all the time in your spirit. We talked about that. And so God will give your spirit man some instruction. Maybe he'll speak something to you. Amen. And maybe it'll come through your spirit into your soul and you have a dream or a vision or something. But you're going to receive some type of revelation or direction from God. And what happens is, the first thing when God speaks something to you, the first thing that thoughts pass through is they have to go through your emotional filters. See, whether you know it or not, your emotions are always out there in front of what you're thinking. Your thoughts, your emotions direct your thoughts. Amen? I mean, trying not to be sexist about this. Trying to make some good jokes or whatever. But anyway, glory to God. You can read what people are thinking by the expression on their face when they come in the door, because their emotions most of the time are directing what they're thinking. And how they feel will filter what you say to them. You know, if I come to somebody and I say, you know, and let's say they're all fired up. They have an Elizabeth Smither type attitude on them for the day, you know. And I come up to them and I say, God loves you. And they'll go, yes, I know it. Oh, he loves me so much. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. He'll get all fired up. Why? Their emotional filters were charged so energetically with expectations from God. All it took was one word to set them off. I remember hearing Jesse Duplantis talk about one time when he was caught up to heaven. And he was talking to one of the patriarchs or somebody. They mentioned something about Jesus, and Jesse goes, glory to God, like that in heaven. And all of a sudden, all the angels around started going, glory to God, glory to God. And it started spreading all around. Everybody's going, glory to God. And all it took was somebody just to light the fuse of magnifying Jesus. And everybody got set off. Well, you get your emotional sensors charged with the presence of God. It doesn't take much to put you over the edge of praising God. But you take another person or the same person, and their emotions are charged because they've been visited by some familiar spirits. Maybe oppression's tried to bring them down or whatever it might be. And you come up to the same person, you know, a week later, and you go, God loves you. And you go, well, I hope so. I know the word says it, but I sure don't feel it. I know. I'm trying to get you out of that feeling into what the word says. Are you following me? The word says nothing can take you out of the love of God. So what happened is the emotions were out front filtering everything they heard. So based on what you've done to stay connected with the presence of God will also determine how well you can follow what he says. How well you can follow through with what he's directed you on. Amen? Because you're staying in the pits all the time. It's going to be God to get you out of the pit and get you going without a whole lot of maintenance work first. You follow me? I mean, when the car's broke down, you're not going to put it straight in the Daytona 500. Amen? You're going to do some work on that engine first. And so God will speak something to you and it'll hit your emotions. How do you feel? And should you feel like entertaining what God said or told you to do? Are you following me? You know, whether he told you to tithe or sow a seed or go bless somebody or praise him or get in the word. I mean, who is that? We don't know. You need a show of hands. That's another one like that one. How many have ever been fighting the blues and you knew in your spirit, man, you heard your spirit say, go get in the word. Go get in the word. I want to get in the word. Watch TV instead. Amen. Watch something funny. Watch Three Stooges instead. Don't feel like getting to work. And what happened is you cast down what God said. Because you felt like entertaining devils instead of accessing the presence of God. I remember one time years ago, I've told this story many times, I was working in Frankfurt doing taxes. That was before TurboTax did it all, you know, electronically. Praise God for TurboTax. Glory to God. You don't know. If you've never done church tax, you don't know what TurboTax has done for the church, I'm telling you. Any business. And I'd have to type out everything on these carbons, like 7 carbons, you know. On this old typewriter we had in Frankfurt, that the Y always double struck. And so I'd be filling out these W-2s and I'd go get a stack of them from the state. I'd go down there, get the stack of them, bring them back. I'd be filling them out. I'd be typing in, you know, Grace Fellowship of Frankfurt, 122 East Broadway. I have a string of Y's go across my W-2. Well, last thing you want to do doing taxes is have something that might make them think that you're an idiot. You know? So I'd rip that one up, start over again. And one day, I just could not get him to go right. It was one of those days just everything was messing up. And everybody's gone home. I'm there in late in that afternoon, or maybe it's starting to get dark. And I'm on my last form. I think I got one to go. And it goes, across the page again. Now, I know you think I'm always just have a total pleasant disposition and never get upset. I got upset. And say nothing. But everything in me wanted to take up that typewriter and launch it through my office window. I virtually had to hold myself back. Amen. I wanted to tear that thing up and I wanted to scream. And I said, I've had it. I'm going home. And I took out of my office, and a left turn took me home. And I started to turn left. God said, go to the sanctuary and praise me. I want to praise you. I don't feel like praising you. I'm going home. I'm going to get me something to eat. I've had it for today. He said, you need to praise me. Now, what's happened? See, he's speaking to me with my emotional filters are wanting to get me to cast down what God said. Don't look at me like that. You've done it too. Don't feel like going to church, God. But I made the right turn. Interesting, it's a right turn. Went in the sanctuary and started praising God. Walking around the chairs in a loop. That's when I hit a loop around there. I praise you. I praise you. See, I'm still letting my emotions dictate. Praise you. And the Holy Ghost said, what are you doing? I'm praising you. Glory to God. Wasn't getting any popcorn effect out of that one whatsoever. And finally, because I stayed in that position long enough, going around the chairs, it started to sink in. I started going, Father, I know this isn't you. I praise you. You're the God of all blessing and honor. Before I know it, I'm caught up in the presence of God. Went home, enjoyed the night, went back next day, and everything went perfect. Got some more forms and went perfect. The point is these emotions will get in your way if you let them. They'll make you do illogical things regarding scriptural logic. But once you get God's direction to penetrate your emotions, you say, okay, oh God, I'll do that. Then it has to be filtered by your mind. In other words, is what God telling me, does that sound like something God would tell me to do? And does it sound like something I want to obey? You know, God says, I need you to go ahead and get in. You know, you're fighting. You can't hardly pay attention, much less your phone bill or whatever. And God says, I want you to pledge $1,000 on the church vow. I praise you, Jesus. I praise you. I didn't hear that. I praise you, Jesus. You follow me? Why? It made it through the emotions. Emotions were fine. But it hit that head. And for the moment wasn't believing, God gives seed to the sower and multiplies your seed sown. Amen. It was believing, if I give $1,000, I won't have it. And I'll be broker than I was before. So it's got to infiltrate this mind. But this being a spiritual person, they've spent time meditating the Word. You follow me? They spent time meditating the Word. And so they've learned from experience that God is faithful. Amen. And He will come through. Not only that, in your mind, you not only have, this is your analytical area, that's where you think. But in your mind is all your thoughts or memories. Call them mental data files. Memories. And you remember last time God told you to give $100, and you did, and $1,000 came to you. So you let your mind go and pull data out of those memories, those data files, and remember God was faithful last time to give you, multiplied result. What will He do with I sow $1,000? You follow me. And you start to process that. You start to process that. And you come up with a realization, I need to follow through with that. So you pass down the decision to your will. So what happens is you make the decision, I think that's the thing to do. And you pass that decision to your will to enforce. You follow me? You say, this is the way to go. Okay, will, you now enforce this decision upon the flesh. Amen. See, sometimes we've made decisions. I'm going to get in shape, New Year's resolution. I'll quit this and that. But we didn't get our will fully involved. Yeah. We made a decision because it sounded good and we wanted to look like, we had a six-pack. But when it came time to enforce a decision, we left that part of the soul out of the equation. And there is a such thing as being, how can I say it, strong-willed. Strong-willed for God is very valuable. Strong-willed against God is very damaging. Amen. That's why God takes these prophetic people like Elizabeth, you know, Pastor Elizabeth, Pastor Philip. They're so prophetic. Rebecca. He takes them, and they were so stubborn before. I mean, they just hard-headed as all get out. But once God finally gets through to them, it's like then they become such a force for God. Because once they've made the decision, no devil in hell is going to cause them to back up. So they make the decision. And here we see a couple lines I put in there. That word there is stubbornness. Stubbornness is, it will try to put a chokehold between your mind and your will, you know, to keep you from either backing up or going forwards. And then over here, what do I label that? That's your faith. Yeah. Praise God. Your faith, the level you renewed your mind, will determine how much, or lack of it, will determine how much you choke down or let through. Those are controllers there. How much of what God's told you, how much you'll follow through with and even consider. So then your will makes a decision. It passes the decision over to the flesh. There's your five senses. Amen? And then your flesh being given a command will then be required to act on that flesh. And the more you train the flesh, the more your flesh will respond to its directions. The problem is, let me throw this one up here, is as you act, you will also have to speak. Whenever you, because we're talking about something God's going to do supernaturally. So what happens is you determine I'm going to act in faith believing God and I'm going to speak what God has told me or what His Word says. And as you speak it, all of a sudden, now the power of God's put in operation. His power is released in the form of God actions. But you become the one that determines how much God actions can take place on this world. Because He gave the earth to man, gave the dominion to man. Without man being involved in acting on what God said and speaking what God said, God's limited in moving here. Now, we've also put in here, with your emotions here, when you're going to make this decision, we've got demonic inputs coming in. He's trying to tell you whether or not you want to do that. We also have the atmospheric bias there. Is the atmosphere charged with the presence of God or the presence of devils? And based on how much of the enemy you will entertain what he's saying, how much of his atmosphere you'll put up with being, you know, over your head will determine how much of God you can follow through with. So if you're going to be a person that's going to act and follow God and see God actions take place, you've got to be a person that dominates this area. You do not let the devil influence your emotions or your thoughts. Otherwise, as Pastor Elizabeth said, whoever controls the realm of the soul controls the earth. Because whatever comes from the third to the first has to flow through that second heaven realm. Did you follow all of this morning? Well, this was the introduction for where I was going to go. But let me close with this. When you study Israel coming out of Egypt and going in and God told them to possess the promised land, those are stories that are examples of what we're to do to possess the promised land of our soul. Amen. God told Moses, he's given them a land. It's a valuable land. It's got everything they need. They've got to go in and possess it. It's given to them. Amen. But yet, remember what I was going to say again. The promised land we have to take before we can possess what God says we can have is the 6 inches of dirt between our ears. You've got to learn to control and take the ground of your thinking. And in Deuteronomy chapter 6, can we go there real quick? Give me just a couple minutes more. Deuteronomy 6. See, I believe the book of Joshua is a set of battles that are, they parallel battles that will take place in your thinking that you have to win to possess the realm of your thinking. Amen? Deuteronomy 6. verse 1 says, "Now these are the commandments, the statutes, and the judgments which the Lord your God commanded to teach you, that you might do them in the land whither you go to possess it." God says if you're going to go possess the land, there's some rules, some commandments, some statutes you have to learn. I'm talking about the Word. You got to learn the Word before you can possess the land. He goes on down, and he says, "Hear, O Israel," verse 4, "the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, spirit, all thy soul," second heaven, "and all thy might," flesh, first heaven. There are all three realms right there. "And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them," talking about the Word, "and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up." He says, I want you dominated by the Word, your life dominated by the Word of God. Talk about it all the time. That's meditating Word. "And thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand, and they shall be as frontlets upon between thine eyes. You shall write them upon the posts of thy house and upon thy gates." Amen? So he's telling them, I want you to flood your thinking with the Word of God. In verse 10 he says, "And it shall be, when the Lord thy God shall have brought thee into the land which he sware unto thy fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give thee great and goodly cities, which thou buildest not." I didn't build Georgetown, but God's going to give it to us. Let me rephrase it. He has given it to us. We just got to possess it. "And houses full of good things, which thou fillest not, and wells digged that thou digst not, vineyards and olive trees, which thou plantest not. When thou shalt have eaten and be full, then beware you forget about the God that brought you in." But he's saying the Word of God is what's going to bring you into the land that I promised you. God's promised you. You can possess your soul. You can save your soul. You just have to determine, I'm going to start today doing it. Be diligent about it. And watch God turn your whole life around. As I watched you do so many people's lives. By this Word. Amen. Did you get anything out of this? Well, let's take about a 5-minute break and we'll restart again with Pastor Elizabeth.